No. I'm good. Morning. It's good to be here with you again and studying God's Word together. I was going over my notes this morning and thought, what a message to start the day with. A stern warning for neglecting Christian duties. But then I reminded myself, you pick this, not me. So, no, we're studying primarily this morning verses 4 to 7 of Ephesians 5, 4 to 7, and really I'll be just exegeting these verses and bringing out the message of them. God willing, tonight we'll be on to the next verses about being children of light and walking in that way, a bit more encouraging. But this passage is here in the scripture, following on from the previous verses. The New Testament, Christians... The New Testament is full of duties for Christians. The Christian life does not begin and end at conversion, but the Christian life flows on from after we are saved. It's a life of doing God's will. And hence we see that the New Testament is full of imperative verbs. It's full of imperative commands written to the church. We are not afraid as believers of God's commands, God's law, because His Torah is written in our heart under the new covenant, according to Hebrews and Jeremiah and so on. The law of God, the Torah, is inbuilt in the believer now. Instead of being written on stone, it's written on their heart, and we have the Spirit to help us to conform thereto. We know our performance of our Christian duties is not perfect. That does not bother us either, because we are not saved by our performance of Christian duty. We're not saved by any obedience. All our obedience, all our duties that we fulfill add nothing at all to our salvation. We want to obey the New Testament Christian duties because this pleases our Father. And when we do what he asks. And it also proves that we are a real Christian. Now, in Ephesians chapters 4 and 5, there are a number of imperative commands that God gives to his new covenant people, those that are saved. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Remove wrong attitudes and mindsets. Be godly. Follow or imitate God. Walk in sacrificial love. Flee fornication. Flee sinful thoughts. And flee covetousness. And included in just these duties are basically obey commandments 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10. Just in that small section. So don't tell me you're an antinomian, you're against God's law. Because, as we shall see this morning, to be, and I pick my words carefully here, to be a persistent, consistent antinomian is to be unsaved. Not theoretically. Some people theoretically talk about being, oh, don't do this, that and the other. But to be a consistent, persistent one in practice is to be unsaved. Now, I want to give you one more Christian duty before we then move on to this stern warning that is contained in the passage. And this Christian duty is not so much to do with our physical actions, but our words. And it's found, of course, in verse 4. The Christian duty is flee foolish talk. It just continues on from the previous verse about fornication and uncleanness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. This is not to be named among the saints. Foolish talking. Now what does it mean? Well, it defines it for us in the verse. Foolish talking in three areas, or there's three areas of talking that we are told to flee from. The first word is filthiness. The word means obscenity, lewdness, offensive, words that are offensive morally, or gutter talk or gutter jokes. And then you have neither filthiness nor foolish talking. These Greek words mean loose, insipid or corrupt, vain, pointless or stupid talking. And then you have another word, nor jesting, which is not convenient, and adds on, jesting. That simply means low jesting in a bad sense, low joking in a bad sense, not coarse speech. But the word means polished speech. So it's not talking about coarse joking here. It's talking about slick, upper class, polished, bad jokes. So it covers different aspects of talking, you see. And when you compile all of these things together, it's telling us basically, watch what you joke about. Are we to joke in gutter talk? No. Are we to be joking in a vain, pointless, sort of just stupid way, or speaking in that way? No. Or are we to be joking in a cool, polished way? No. These things, it says, which are not convenient. That simply means not what's due. Matthew Henry the Puritan says, these things do not become a Christian. They are very unsuitable for their profession and character. That's all that it means. Stuart Olliott, in his little book, where's my books? There we are. He illustrates this as a picture of a child talking to their father. He illustrates this verse in this way. But father, says one of the children, look at those people over there. Look where they're walking. They're going down a path of sex before marriage and other sexual practices you forbid. It is the path of impurity and the desire for more. Do not even talk of going that way, comes the reply. Could people set apart to walk my path with me, do such a thing, or even contemplate it? Would that be proper or fitting? Father, says the child again, look at those people where they're walking now. They've taken the path of indecency and nonsensible, godless chatter and dirty jokes. My children, that will never be the right path for you. Those who are following a holy God cannot walk or speak in an unholy way. Just taking the verse, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I tell you, just being honest, they need to learn this verse in Bible colleges. They need to put it up on the doors and in the libraries. Because personally, my personal opinion, it wasn't just mine, there was other folk as well. Going through Bible college was the hardest thing I've ever had to stick. Harder than the ministry. Trainee pastors and trainee missionaries with their dubious, dirty, double-meaning, innuendo-filled humour. Tacky. Borderline. But if you say anything about it, it's the double meaning type, you see. It's turned around on you as if you were the one that was thinking dirty or whatever. But everybody knows that's what the funny bit about it is, or else they wouldn't be saying it in the first place. And I personally hated it. And not only me, but that whole side of Bible college I detested. These things, brethren, are not convenient. As Matthew Henry says, they're unsuitable for our profession of Christ. They're not consistent, they're not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Much by far give thanks to God in your words, says Matthew Henry the Puritan. He goes on to say, it's talking about pious religious discourse in general, in opposition to that which the apostle condemns. He says, our cheerfulness, instead of breaking into vain, sinful, profane talk in God's name, our faithfulness should express itself as becomes Christians, that in what may tend to His glory. If we were more in pious talk or expressions, holy talk, we would not be apt to utter ill and unbecoming words. So that's the first duty there. Flee foolish talk. We can just add it to the list of all the other ones. No worldly talk. Then, in verses 5 and 6, comes this stern warning. Stern warning for the neglect of Christian duties. Now this passage is paralleled in many other passages in the New Testament. We look at a few of them perhaps tonight as in our introduction. But the second point is stern warning, and it's verses 5 and 6. It comes at the end of this list of Christian duties, even from the previous chapter, and it says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. These verses teach two things. Firstly, A, the neglect of Christian duty will shut you out of heaven, and B, neglect of Christian duty brings down God's wrath. That's the two things taught. A, for this you know. For this is the reason. This you know. And it's a present indicative verb, which means it's a simple statement of fact. You presently know this. It's just a fact. Don't neglect your Christian duties, for you know it is a simple statement of fact that no whoremonger, and that means no porneia, no fornicator, nor unclean person, simply means uncleansed, nor covetous man, which is an idolater. Covetousness is idolatry, wanting what others have and we don't, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And again, that's an indicative verb, a simple statement of fact. And what is being taught is this. No person who persists in neglecting the Christian duties of chapter 5, verse 3, fleeing fornication, flee uncleanness, flee covetousness, no person who persists in neglecting those duties has any inheritance in the kingdom. That's strong, isn't it? Christian duties are important as they are an indicator of the reality of our salvation. Because it plainly says,